This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
I think it's really good. I think that we have a lot of depth, a lot of options, and we also have youth in the rotation, and you know, some of these guys are very apt to take a step forward.
Definitely got some experience on the mound with adding Sugano and Charlie Morton, bringing some guys back that we're excited about, you know, with Grayson and Dean and Eflin and Albert Suarez, who's here. It's going to be a really good competition in camp. Nice that I'm glad we brought some veteran guys in to help us out, and looking forward to get going.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster today and tomorrow here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass on this Total Request Thursday. Send in your song request to the text line, Nolan. He will play them from there. Also, don't forget to send in your votes for Featured Artist Friday. We'll announce that winner on the back end of today's show. Today's the first workout for pitchers and catchers out in Sarasota. It's a perfect time to be in Sarasota.
Oh, yes.
These days, as I look outside the window and still see snow on the ground and rain falling from the skies. But you heard from both Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde. Both of them will. Mike Elias, I believe, is already talking right now. Brandon Hyde will be talking in about 30 minutes. Both of them talking about this pitching staff, which was a big point of emphasis going into the offseason, because you knew it was a long shot to bring back Corbin Burns, and with Kyle Bradish still dealing with his injuries, this rotation needs a jolt. And they were able to go out and get Charlie Morton. They go and get Sugano. Like Brandon Hyde said, both of those guys have experience. Sugano, 35. Morton, 41. Sugano, however, hasn't pitched in the major leagues. I don't know what to expect from him. Morton's been consistent his whole career. I'll give him that. But he's 41. Mm-hmm. I'm a little on edge about how much they can rely on them. So you look at this rotation. I do like Grayson as the ace right now. Because since Grayson's been drafted, all everybody has talked about is him being the future ace of this ball club. Now is the time to show it. But I do have skepticism about how long this rotation can last and how far they could get him.
Let me ask both you guys this question, because just listening to Hyder and Elias talking, you know, about, hey, we got veteran. Now, what was the response? What were they saying last year at this time when they had Corbin? Oh, it's great to have a number one guy, mm-hmm. You know. I mean, so that's what's kind of interesting to me, because they don't have that guy. So now you got to pump up all the other guys, and because there they had the guy who was the guy. And now they're hoping that Rodriguez can become the guy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if it was a Zach Eflin that you were leaning on fully, right, that's your defined number one guy, and he's going to have to carry the load. I mean, he's done that before, but I don't know if he's never come close to being a true ace. He's had good quality seasons. He's had durable, lengthy seasons, stable, but not that number one guy. Grayson still has the upside, just hasn't tapped into it yet. And last year was a good step in the right direction, pitched a full season, whereas the year prior, you know, delayed start, injuries, poor performance. So a little less of a roller coaster last year, but still so much more room to improve. And the problem I think that I have is, you know, you have these veteran guys, and maybe Morton would probably be the best example of this, that they, you just know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're as stretched out as they can possibly be. But in today's baseball, it takes forever for these guys to get stretched out. And by opening day, I mean, even some of the best pitchers in baseball are getting capped at five innings before they get yanked from the game. I don't like that the game has gone that direction. They have their reasons for doing it. But this first month of the season, let's be honest, good performances are probably going to be six innings max. That's just the way baseball is. So I think Grayson can be the guy. Still time to make a trade, I guess, technically. But if this is the group they're rolling with, Grayson is going to have to at least be an established number two.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought you mentioned last year being a weird year. Number one, like you said, it's great that he was able to last throughout the year considering all the injuries that were going on to the pitching staff here in Baltimore and really around the league considering Grayson's injury history. So that was a step in the right direction. And I feel like last year gave him an opportunity to kind of grow up a little bit, you know, because they relied on him a lot more than they were probably hoping to when the season started. And him and Corbin Burnes really kept this rotation together with rubber bands at a certain point. And I think Grayson, like you said, at times he shows signs of brilliance. I mean, he looks like an ace at times. And he has his moments to where, you know, it feels like it's a volleyball being thrown up to home plate. So I'm trusting him. I do feel confident in him. Like you said, if it was Eflin that we're talking about being the ace, we'd have a different conversation. But Eflin pitched really well for them after the trade deadline. Those two guys spearheading the rotation, I feel confident. If they're having to depend on guys like Suarez as much as they did last year, I don't know if I feel great about that again. Kay Povich is still a big question mark. What is his role going to be this year? How many looks will he get? And will he be more consistent than he was last year? It's like Vinny said, you're going from last year where you had a bona fide stud at the top of your rotation to now it's a lot of hoping, wishing, and question marks.
Now let me ask you this about Rodriguez. You know, and talent-wise, no problem whatsoever. But injury history, you know, it seems like, why does he keep getting these oblique injuries and stuff, you know? And then what can you do to prevent it? You know, that would be my thing. What could he do in the offseason to prevent those things from happening? Because when they happen, he's gone for a while.
Well, that's the golden question in baseball in general. I mean, nobody really has their
what did they used to call the oblique? What was the oblique injury before it was the oblique injury?
Well, even what I guess the point I'm making is oblique, I'll take an oblique injury. The problem I have is when, you know, he gets a month into the season and says, oh, my forearm's tight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the kiss of death. And that's what I mean, where nobody has an answer for this in baseball right now. All of the best young pitchers in the game that throw at a high velocity have either gone through Tommy John in the minors or very early in their career. Could be mistaken on this. Grayson is one of the hardest throwing young pitchers in the league that is yet to have Tommy John. I'm not saying he's a ticking time bomb. I'm just saying that's the reality of baseball right now. And looking at his track record here from innings pitched, I thought he threw more innings last year. Just looking at it here, only 116 and two-thirds. Could have fooled me. I thought it was a lot more than that. So there's another question mark that even if he's good, is he able to jump from 115, 120 to where you would typically like a number one guy to be, 170, 180 at a minimum?
Hmm.
I mean, that's a huge jump.
Mm-hmm.
And again, at some point, the training wheels are going to have to come off, but nobody can figure out this injury stuff. And how do you tell a guy, hey, stop throwing that hard? You know, this is what got it. That's how he knows how to pitch. He can't just reinvent. None of these guys can do that.
So Sagano is a you know, a weird case for me because I know he's been dominant in Japan. Nobody really knows what to expect from him. I played a cut from Brandon Hyde on me and Ben's show last night, and Brandon Hyde pretty much says in the cut, like, he doesn't even know what to expect from the guy. He's like, I've talked to him on Zoom. You know, he seems like a nice guy, but I've never seen him pitch before. That's not necessarily a ringing endorsement for a fan base right now that has been banging the table for pitching all offseason. And look, he could go out there and look great. We don't know. But he's coming from a league where they pitched a contact to where now, you know, it's especially in this, just the division alone, it's a lot of power in this division. I don't know what this is going to look like. I'm kind of bracing. I've learned to brace myself for the worst and then be surprised by positive outcomes. But where are you, Nolan, on the Sagano experiment?
Right. Well, in terms of stuff, I mean, nothing's really going to change. This is who he is. And that was a benefit to him when he pitched in Japan. He was fully in tune with his skill set as a pitcher. But as you said, the level of competition, way different between over there and over here. Just a completely different brand of hitters. The game is different. Strategies and all that. Some of the pitches that he might have gotten away with in the past where, you know, it's probably not going to happen anymore. So he's going to have a little bit of a learning curve. You've also seen in recent years a lot of guys, pitchers I'm talking about, coming over from Japan, maybe get off to a rocky start. You saw it last year with Yamamoto there in the Dodgers. He had a rough first to go around, kind of a rough first month, and he only threw 90 innings. So there's another question mark. Is he going to be able to hold up to the schedule of Major League Baseball? Because they pitch, there's a little more downtime between outings for them over there instead of every fifth day here in the States.
When will you know? When will you know? How far into spring training will you know about this staff? Or, you know, like with the Ravens, it always seemed like after a couple preseason games, they knew if they needed to go get somebody. How far into spring training would it be that you know that, damn, we still need help?
You know, it's weird because this is the part that I hate about spring training is it's like unwritten rules on what you can and can't put stock into. So last year, Albert Suarez was one of those guys that killed it in spring training and ended up getting an opportunity to come up here and did really good with that as well. But there have been other guys that
Jackson Holliday.
And you know, hitters are different as well. I think it's going to take probably longer than spring training. I would say probably you get into May and you start, at least if we're talking about Sagano, because I would want a nice sample size. And I don't know what his spring training outings are going to look like. You know, we'll see how they deal with him. But I feel like I'm going to need a couple of months before I can say whether I'm comfortable with him or not.
Yeah, you're less likely to make a rash decision based off performance in spring training. Whereas like football, you get a much more limited amount of time. Like you said, Vinny, you can kind of tell right away what's going to work, what isn't. The biggest thing that would impact their decision to make a move, I think, would be an injury. And again, we'll start hearing the quotes coming out from Elias today.
Right.
Fingers crossed, nothing major coming down the pipeline. But last couple of years, that has unfortunately been the case.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep looking at this Orioles pitching staff. Let's talk about the bullpen. The Orioles did add Andrew Kittredge to the bullpen. They do get the big fella Felix Bautista back after missing last year. Could this bullpen be one of the better ones in baseball? 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Works sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney today and tomorrow here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 10:30, we'll talk to University of Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans. Maryland with a big game tonight out in Nebraska. I heard Chris Nockey on with the morning show talk about it was, I think he said, minus 12 degrees when they got in last night. Yeah, that's not a good place to be right now. But the funny thing is, it'll probably be packed tonight because is going on
in Lincoln?
So we'll talk
to Damon.
It's kind
of like living in Ames, Iowa. Right. You know? You know what the problem is there? It's so flat. The wind blows. Cordell, I used to walk down to campus. It was probably half mile walk to campus from the dorm. And the wind had come out of the north, and you know, and we're walking towards the north. I'd be walking backwards to class because that hawk would, you know what? And then when I'm walking backwards, I'd be staring at my dorm like, what the hell am I thinking? And I go, yep, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, that sounds like the type of weather that's pushing me off the sidewalk, you know. So Maryland, they'll be out in Nebraska tonight, taking on a red-hot Cornhusker team that's won 4 straight, did lose 6 straight before that. So we'll see what type of team shows up tonight. But still talking some Orioles, 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. We talked a lot about the starting rotation in the open. And looking at this bullpen, I think there are less question marks about the bullpen this year, definitely opposed to last year where you knew they didn't have Batista. They brought in Craig Kimbrell. I don't think anybody was ever comfortable with Craig Kimbrell, whether you're talking about the day he was signed or even the first day that he went out there to get the ball to try to shut down that game. And this year, look, I'm not expecting Felix Batista to come right out the gate and look like the best closer in baseball and pick up where he left off. I don't expect many 5-6 out saves this year. I think they're really going to treat him with kid gloves, but still allow him an opportunity to be his dominant self. And, you know, Sir Anthony Dominguez last year, I thought was really good for them. They added Kittredge this offseason, Gregory Soto, you know, and Cano. I'm hoping Perez puts together more of a consistent year this year. But I have less pessimistic views about this bullpen than I did last year.
Well, I think you're counting big time on Batista.
For sure.
You know, that, I mean, he was the best closer in baseball, you know, before he got hurt. So, I mean, that's always, to get that back, you know, because last year they really didn't have the solidified closer at the end. So, I mean, Batista would give them that. I'm guessing that he's on a pitch count early and kind of gets a feel for where he's at, Nolan?
Yeah, most likely, which is unfortunate. And I'm really not sold on this bullpen at all right now. I think the question marks with Batista, I'll say this, if he's not at the level he was 2 years ago, that's okay. It would still be better than Kimbrell and, you know, Dominguez trying to be your closer last year. You just so unstable last year. So I'll say at worst, Felix is better than that. But with the way it's structured as a whole, this entire bullpen right now, they're kind of banking on him to be the all-star shutdown guy yet again. And if you're doing that with the thought in the back of your head that he's going to need a slow ramp up, that just doesn't make sense to me. Andrew Kittredge is a nice addition, but you had two subtractions,
right,
with Jacob Webb and Danny Coulomb. I got no problem moving on from them, but how do you replace him? You two guys exit, one guy comes in, and Bautista with a question mark. You know, Dominguez and Gregory Soto, got them at the deadline last year. ERA's around 4. Maybe a little bit better than what they did with the Phillies, but not by much. I mean, they're question marks to me as well. So a lot of moving parts here. You know, is Yennier Cano going to regress again? Or is he going to hold stable? Is CNL Perez going to bounce back, give you a consistent year from start to finish? He was very shaky last year. I don't know. I just see a lot of question marks here.
You mentioned in the open about potential news coming out today with it being the first day and Mike Elias talking. He said that Jorge Mateo won't be ready for opening day, which isn't a surprise there. That was kind of expected. He also says Trevor Rogers won't be ready for opening day. Rogers apparently injured his right kneecap in January. So, look, I don't know if anybody had an optimistic view for Trevor Rogers going into this season outside of Mike Elias and those guys, because they talked him up even after the season. I remember the end of the season press conference, they were still talking about Trevor Rogers as if he was a big part of their plans. So maybe they're still trying to make that trade look good. I don't know. But this is obviously a significant blow to any momentum he would have had going into the season.
Right. At least he was on the outside looking in. It's not like you lost a Sagano or somebody that's, you're slotted into the rotation.
I'm actually okay with this news. Like, this is, I mean, like I said, the Mateo thing, we already kind of knew he wasn't going to be ready. And Rogers, it's like, some other things here. This is from Rock Kabako tweeting this out. Sagano is in Tokyo getting his visa right now. He'll be traveling later this week. Zach Eflin is not there because his wife had a baby boy. Congratulations to him. Batista will ramp up slowly in camp, but he is feeling good. He's throwing in the pen. Should be ready for opening day. Rock says they asked about the roster. Mike Elias said he's still on the phone, but this is a group they're ready to take into the season.
Not bad. I mean, could be a lot worse. There's a hell of a lot worse.
I mean, it was way worse last year. Way worse. Yeah. I mean, I'll take this, honestly.
And with the Rodgers thing, you know, he'll be back at some point. Mm-hmm. It is disappointing. And I'm not saying there's a ton riding on him, but considering what you gave up to get him, I don't think it's a nothing story. If he does absolutely nothing for the Orioles this year, but they're still a competitive team. That's okay. But that trade will still be viewed very poorly.
No doubt. I mean, that deadline as a whole is still they still need to have a good deadline. The last two were disappointing this year. And Mike Elias was asked a lot about the deadline and the, you know, the lack of movement or whatever, you know, the lack of quality moves for that matter at the end of the season press conference. And he, you know, made it seem like he's still learning from those lessons. He wants to apply that. His mistake last year was feeling like they only needed bullpen arms as opposed to maybe needing some more help on the offense and maybe even another starter with all the injury issues they were dealing with as well. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's grab Ed in Arbutus real quick. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Cordell, Vinny, good day, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Personal opinion for what I believe to be the O's strongest defense positionally. Field middle, Rushman, Henderson, shortstop, Westberg, second base. Mullins, center field, corners, Mountcastle, first base. Holiday and Urias, platoon, third base for quick reactive hands. Left field, O'Neill, that's his best spot. Couser and Laureano, platoon in right field. The reason for the two platoons is to help young hitters maximize success probability advantage. Also, slot them low in the batting order in the bottom half. Couser in the 7 spot, Holiday 9 spot for double leadoff. It affords them time to gauge the pitcher. Platoon at bats can also be found left field, first base as well. Heavy concentration reasoning for the middle fielders that form a diamond on the playing field. All are physically strong to man those spots, hard-nosed, badass grinders. The O's, historic proof for the double play combo guys, absolutely needed to become a baseball champion. Shortstops, legacy in these spots. Ron Hansen, Louis Aparicio, Mark Belanger, Cal Ripken, Miguel Tejada, Mike Bordick. Second base. Don't underestimate the value of this position on DP pivots, outfield cuts, bunt coverage, steals, pickoffs. Whole lot of traffic out there. Jerry Adair, Dave Johnson, Bobby Grich, Rich Dower, Billy Ripken, Roberto Alomar. DH, choice hitter for that day. Last thing, versatile multi-positional players add great value to any baseball team. However, it's real important to establish your core best to settle in. That's it, gentlemen, and I thank you for your courtesy.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ed. And also, I'm seeing here, which I like, that Mike Elias said today that Heston Kjerstad has, quote, earned the right to get Major League at-bats and that he's a front runner for a roster spot, whether it's the corner, outfield, or DH. He's got to play a lot this year. It's kind of now or never to see what you have with Heston, especially with the departure of Anthony Santander. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans. Talk to him about the Terps' big game tonight out in Nebraska. Ask him about the women's game as well. And, of course, moving pieces on the football team in the offseason. That's next here on The Fan.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Total Request Thursday. Send in your favorite songs to the text line. Nolan, he'll play them for you. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobs to hear with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, University of Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans. Damon, good morning.
What's up, fellas?
What's happening?
Not much,
man. I'm chilling.
Yeah, I bet you are. Yeah, out there in Nebraska, man. It's I'm sure it's pretty cold out there, and you guys will be facing a red hot Nebraska team. And look, the Terps are hot on their in their own right, coming off another nice win on Sunday. What are you expecting to see in this pivotal Big Ten matchup tonight?
I'm expecting to see us win. Just to be real candid, I like the way our team is playing right now. Kevin has them playing as a cohesive group. Our starting five is. They've really been good. I know Derek Queen was exceptional this past game against Rutgers in the stat line that he put up. But when you look across the board, we're shooting the ball well. We've got a good post game. We move the ball around well, and we can space the floor. So I'm excited about the opportunity tonight and look forward to coming out with a win.
You mentioned Derek Queen and his big game on Sunday against Rutgers, and it was so much made of all the scouts in the building and, you know, the two freshmen on Rutgers going up against Queen. Just what were your thoughts when you're seeing him have his best game to this point in his career?
I'm happy for that young man. Derek is a phenomenal athlete and basketball player, but he's an even better person. I've enjoyed getting to know him, and we got to see on full display all of the tools that he has in his tool chest to where he can shoot the step back jumper. He was rebounding with 15 plus rebounds. Can score the basketball in so many different ways, and really helps to open it up for all of our other players on the team. So excited for him and what he did, and it's a huge point of pride when you have a young man who can play to that level.
All right, Damon, we got Andre Powell back in the fold, special teams coach. So is the coaching staff, is it done?
You know what? We're still working at it. I know Andre Locks is excited to have him and work with us, and he has over 35 years of experience and obviously been in this business for quite some time. So it's good to have him back on this staff, and we'll move forward. And I know Locks is trying to make sure that he gets his staff fully solidified, and he's doing so. And we'll continue to work with him and help him make sure that he has a coaching staff that can coach up the players, develop the players, and position us to have some success.
Hey, Damon, you know what's crazy is I was reading that article about Texas Tech the other day on their portal stuff. I mean, to me, football is crazy now, but I mean, that's the way it is. So it is what it is. But I mean, they went out, they had a game plan or whatever for the portal, to attack the portal. Three dudes, they paid over $1 million to each. I mean, to me, it's... Is there there was talk of like a Nick Saban being a czar, somebody being like over football to kind of that understands football that can kind of control things.
Right. Well, you know, this is an interesting time. We're in a transitional period because we're moving to this new revenue share model that begins July 1, in which student athletes can be paid directly by the institution. That's sharing revenue up to $20.5 million. We're still right now in this collective period where collectives were doing that for student athletes, raising money and then paying those student athletes. So you got this transition period where collectives are still spending dollars. You got these new dollars coming on. So you see maybe an increase in what the payments look like. We'll see if that levels off once we get into this new era of revenue share, this new era of prohibition against third-party pay-for-play, where all third-party deals have to be run through a clearinghouse, anything over $600. So there's a lot to be worked out, but I'm not surprised by what I'm seeing at Texas Tech or anybody around the country.
It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. We're talking to University of Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Damon, the Lady Terps, they've won two straight themselves. And Coach Brenda Freeze hitting the big milestone last week, getting her 600th win after that victory over Oregon. Just when you look at Brenda and everything she's done in her career, what impresses you the most?
The consistency. The level of consistency and a high level of consistency to where she has our women's basketball team in the picture every single year to compete at a high level, not only for the Big Ten championship, but to go out and make deep runs in the NCAA tournament, the number of players that she continues to put out into the pros. And the 600th win, which I want to congratulate her and tell her how much we appreciate her, it's just another testament of her body of work and how hard she's worked to put us and herself in a position to have such great success. So it takes consistency, fellas, and she's just a testament to that.
Well, they're back on the court tonight themselves at home taking on the Lady Cornhuskers. And this is a Maryland team that has won two straight after beating Washington in the last game. What do you want to see from the ladies tonight to keep that momentum going?
Well, tonight, all these games are significant for us. We can't take Nebraska lightly. I want to let everyone to know tonight is our pink out game. So come on out, support the Terps, wear your pink for breast cancer awareness. But all these games are pivotal, especially when you're trying to, one, secure a good seed line in the NCAA tournament, but also when you're looking for that double bye in the Big Ten tournament. So this is a big game for us tonight. I'm excited about how we're coming off of the West Coast trip to go out there and get two wins, and for Schmeichel to have a career high in 36 points when we played at Washington. We're sitting in a good position, and I expect us to continue to build momentum.
Now, Damon, what about the other sports? Now, let me just say that the wrestling team, that was, although they lost to Penn State 35-10, that was a hell of a performance because the competitiveness that they had, and that's the most points Penn State's given up all season. They beat Iowa, the number two ranked team in the country, 30-8. So losing 35-10 was not a bad performance at Penn State.
Our wrestling team has really improved. I've seen significant improvement in that program led by Alex Clemson. When you're in a conference like the Big Ten, as far as wrestling is concerned, the most competitive conference in the country in wrestling, and to see what our student athletes are doing, he's put together a great game plan. So I'm pleased with where we are from a wrestling perspective. And then, you know, the traditionals, the men's and women's lacs going on. I know our men's team is ranked number 6th in the country. They're off to a 2-0 start. Just coming off a win at Loyola, and we host number 2 Syracuse on Saturday at 2 p.m., so that'll be a big one for us here. Women's lacrosse is going to open its season on Saturday against number 6 Syracuse at 11. So a lot going on with lacrosse. Matt Swope has our baseball team opening up in Charleston, South Carolina on Friday against UAB. We're playing in a tournament there. Softball went 3-2 out at Arizona State and got a great win over number 21 ranked Cal. And gymnastics competes at Washington. Tennis at VCU and Towson this week. And golf and track and field are also in action. So just a busy time of the year, but it makes it all the more fun to get out there and compete and win.
Damon, we love it, man. Really appreciate your time as usual this morning. It is Total Request Thursday. Do you have a song request this morning?
Yeah, you know what? Let's do a little Kendrick Lamar,
okay.
Not Like Us.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Let's play that.
Did you like the halftime cycle show?
It was okay. It was okay. It was okay. I like some songs by Kendrick Lamar. Hey, it was okay. I ain't going to go over the top. It was okay. That's how I put it. Just okay.
Hey, that'll pass. I'll take that as a pass. Agree. Damon, really appreciate your time tonight, today, man. Good luck with both of the teams tonight, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, Damon. Appreciate it, man. Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take some of your calls. 410-583-1057 is the number. If you want to get in, you want to talk some Orioles, we can do that. Pitchers and catchers, they're out there today. Mike Elias spoke earlier. Brandon Hyde might still be talking right now. Anybody you're looking forward to seeing once baseball season comes around, we could talk about that. Ravens, they've made a couple of coaching moves as well over the last couple of days. Steelers going after Trevor Lawrence. Can that help him? We'll talk about all that and more with you guys next here on The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 11, we'll talk some O's baseball with John Mioli. Pitchers and catchers getting on the field in a little bit for their first workout of spring training. But and 410-583-1057 is the number. If you do want to get in, I saw something on my way in this morning, Vinny, about Pittsburgh making a call to Jacksonville for Trevor Lawrence, which could include them sending their first and second round pick to Jacksonville for Trevor Lawrence. I was talking to Nolan before the show. I don't know if a Trevor Lawrence type of quarterback is winning you anything. You see the types of quarterbacks that are in the fight at the end of the season every year, and it's these dual threat mobile guys that also are, you know, elite with the throwing as well. Now, Joe Burrow, I expect him to be back in that race at some point. He doesn't fit that mold, but Trevor Lawrence isn't Joe Burrow. And I don't know. I just don't know if bringing Trevor Lawrence to Pittsburgh makes me look at the Steelers any differently.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence. I'm trying to think. Jacksonville. Was Arthur Smith at Tennessee, where they would have been there, you know, when they would have played him twice a year kind of thing. They must have loved him coming out, would be my guess, if you're really interested there. But if you know, and he got paid.
Yeah.
He got paid. So that would mean, I mean, I thought they went and hired Liam Cohn to fix him. Or, you know, maybe after watching film. But, I mean, that would be, I mean, when you're interviewing a new coach, because I remember when we had Jason Campbell, we were interviewing coaches. What do you think of Jason? Is he fixable? You know, can you fix him? What do you like him? I mean, those are the biggest questions that you're asking.
Right.
You know, Liam Cohn's of the world, you know, all these guys. What do you think of my quarterback? That's the biggest thing. Because if you don't like him, then, you know, we got to figure something else out. Because they've got a high enough pick where they can get one if they like somebody better. And maybe they feel like, you know, the clock's starting over instead of paying that $50 million a year to him. Now, would he help Pittsburgh? What does Pittsburgh want to do? They want to run the ball, play action pass. I mean, you know, Tannehill was great for them. But if you want to run Arthur Smith's offense, you need that stud running back.
That they don't have right now. And look, I like Jaylen Warren, but it just seems like they're always hesitant to really lean into Jaylen Warren. Najee, I think he's a free agent.
Yes, he is.
This offseason. So we'll see what the future holds for him. But they run the ball a lot. You just don't get a lot of production out of their
O-line's
run game.
Not great.
It's not. And I just don't. That's all goes into why I don't think Trevor Lawrence is the fix that Pittsburgh is looking for. They still need more pass catching weapons. You can make the argument he's got more pass catchers in Jacksonville than he would in Pittsburgh right now. And I can't blame Jacksonville. Granted, the report was that Pittsburgh called Jacksonville, so we don't know if Jacksonville is necessarily shopping him.
Right.
But if they were, I can't blame Jacksonville for doing that. Sure, they kind of look like fools for paying him a year or so ago, but Trevor Lawrence has shown nothing to this point in his career to make you believe that he's a franchise altering type of guy. I think he was better in college.
I said this yesterday. I think his freshman year was the best year he had.
Easily.
You know, my biggest concern when I see him, Cordell, is does he love the game?
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest concern with him. How, you know, like you see the Lamars and the Burrows and the they love football and, you know, they're competitive. You see it in their play. I just don't see it with him. My feeling with him is he just content and happy doing what he's doing.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by John Mioli from the Baltimore Banner. Get his thoughts on this upcoming Orioles season. Pitchers and catchers, they're out in Sarasota right now. Perfect place to be. I'm seeing a lot of pictures of Jackson Holliday looking like he's been hitting the weight room.
That's
so
good.
We'll talk to him about that. Heston Kjerstad getting more of an opportunity. The questions surrounding this pitching staff and much more next here on The Fan.